Today, we are in the book of Galatians, and just as a quick review, you know, Galatians was a letter that was written by Paul to the churches in the region of Galatia, the modern-day, today, Turkey, and it was between 45 and 58 A.D., and it addresses, you know, this great question, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and how it really looks like. The primary issue is whether salvation comes by obedience in keeping the law or if it is by faith. And we know, right? We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So, you know, we have put our faith in Jesus Christ and we are justified by faith in him and not by the works of the law because, you know, Galatians 2:16 says, you know, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. So today we are doing Galatians 4:8-20. And I need to be really careful because the last time that Drew asked me to preach, it was a collection of verse and I stuck with just one verse. So today, pray extra for me. You know, we need to go from 8-20 and that will be a miracle. So Galatians 4:8-20. So, you know, here in this specific portion, we see like Paul's concern for the Galatians and Paul, he loved the people that he led to Christ. He was like a spiritual father to them. And in my own life, I am so very thankful for those that serve in a capacity of spiritual father to me. Just as Paul said, you know, we don't have many spiritual fathers. You know, it's really few. Maybe sometimes it's one. And in my case, you know, they were people that they loved, they cared, they lived what they preached, they spoke the truth in love, even when it was like in my face, right? Even when it was like hard to speak, but they spoke the truth in love. And Paul was the pastor of the Galatians, and more than anyone, he cared deeply for them. So here in this passage of Scripture, we see him pointing to something that had the potential, and it was, in fact, robbing them from the freedom that they had in Jesus Christ. And Paul felt that he had to address that. But, you know, even for us here this morning, what he was addressing, it's something that can, unfortunately, and it has robbed us from the many blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. So let's just start, and we're going to read as we go, if you don't mind, instead of reading the whole thing. But it starts like this. Galatians 4:8 says, like, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Think about that. This is a great verse here. Formerly, when me and you, we did not know God, we were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. And we all have been there. We all have had like a before Christ life and an after Christ life. You know, even my dear wife, Rachel, who I think she was like born again from the womb. I'm just kidding. She does have, you know, a before and after, you know, a life in Jesus Christ. And but here, you know, it is that moment in time when we didn't have a special and specific relationship with God. And we were, in fact, slave to those who by nature are not gods, right? I love how the Message Bible puts it, this verse. Look at this one here, Galatians 4:8. Earlier, before you knew God personally, you were enslaved to the so-called gods that had nothing of the divine about them. And as I think about my own life, you know, and if you think too as well, we all had our own, like, so-called gods, non-gods, right? that we served that maybe like not even thinking, you know, we treasured. And I don't know which ones you could list that was yours, you know, non-gods that, you know, it occupied a great time of, you know, you love it, you thought about it, you practice, you know, I can list a few here. For example, you know, it could be fame. I remember when I was playing soccer, my whole goal was to become a professional soccer player in Brazil and have fame and have money. So I remember as a young person how I was focusing on that. That was my main thing, you know, fame and money, self, sexuality, pornography, you know, your own like righteousness. Sometimes sports can take a place so seriously in our lives. Over drinking, you know, overeating, smoking, working can be an idol in our lives. Idols itself. Identity in these days can be like an idol. Entertainment, right? Comfort. Phones. Think about it. Phones can be like, you know, a known god in our lives if we let to. Jobs. Sometimes marriages and even like friendships can be a type of like, you know, something that we adore and worship, and it can take the place of God in our lives sometimes if we are not careful. Impact, significance in the world can be that, you know, non-God, right? Satan himself, and I believe he is behind everything else. And just to be very like up to the culture that we are in and the season that we are in, we don't want to have a non-God that it's a candidate, right? And you know what I'm talking about. But it can, you know, it's that thing that we spend so much time on it, and it's living right here in our minds and dear to our hearts, and you know, but God wants to have that place dear to our hearts, in the front of our minds. You know, he wants our meditation to be, you know, on him and the things of him and his word. So, you know, it's very, very easy. And I'm speaking to myself. This, you know, our gods, G, you know, minus, that had nothing to do. They had nothing to do with the divine. There is nothing divine about them, but for sure they can occupy the center. They can occupy, you know, a great part of our hearts and our minds for a time and for a season. And they do exercise a pretty good amount of control, whether we admit or not. We can all have them, right? And we can all, even like, after being saved, we can go back to, you know, those things that used to control and dominate our lives in a very, very powerful way. So, as we know, you know, there are only one true God. Everything else are known gods, are so-called gods, are like, you know, there is nothing of the divine on them. And we know that because of what 1 John 1:17 tells us. It says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. We know that because the scriptures tells us, because we have the testimony of the word of God. And Jesus Christ, his son, whom he has sent to us. So, we have all been there in one way or another, and we are very thankful for Jesus Christ who came to set us free from those things that had a hold on us, a stronghold, a grab on us. And Jesus came to set us free, to give us an opportunity to have victory over those non-gods that, you know, can be powerful, to give us a new beginning, to give us a new focus, a new identity in our lives. And let's move on. I love Galatians 4:9. Galatians 4:9 says this, but now that you know God, amen for that, right? Or rather are known by God, amen, amen, and amen for that. It is one thing, you know, for us to know God, but it is a, you know, I think it works first, right? We are known by God, and then he gave us the opportunity for us to know him. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it, Paul is addressing the Galatians or addressing us to, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces, Paul is saying? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You know, now that you know the real God, and the real God knows you, and again, we know that because 1 John 4:19, it says this, we love God, and Drew talked about this, I think it was last week, we love God, we know, because God first loved us. But also, we know him because he first knew us. Right? It was not, you know, this big disposition in you or you know, this merit of you or me that we know God. It's him who created me. And he, you know, put a trace so clear that trace all of us, or it should, to him, the creator of everything. So we know him, we can say, because he first knew us. And I love Jeremiah 1:5. Did I say Jeremy? It's your Brazilian friend here. If you need translation, you can talk to Rachel afterwards, or you can, you know, ask me kindly, like, what did you really wanted to say? I was laughing at myself last week because, you know, I was so happy that Drew was preaching that message, because the last time that I preached a message in it, probably some of you remember, that I had to use, like, we are heirs with Christ. I said, we are heirs with Christ the whole time. And, you know, I saw some people like with a little smile in the face, and I couldn't understand. I think they're liking the message. You are heirs with Christ. Be happy with that. Build up with that. And Drew preached the right thing last week, so he corrected me. Now we are heirs with Christ. So you will hear a few things like that from time to time with your buddy Ray here. So Jeremiah 1:5, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I love this. I love this. And then Psalms 139, where it says, you know, that God knows you inside and out. That's verse 1. Then verse 2, it says, like, he knows your every move. Think about that. I don't know what you were doing last night. God knows it. You know, he knows my every move. He knows your thoughts. Now, that is very humbling, isn't it? I mean, even like on the way to church today, you know, God knows my thoughts. He knows the path that we are on, verse 3. He knows the words that we speak, verse 4. He is really the only one true God. Satan and all the non-gods don't know the word that it's gonna about to come from your mouth, or whatever is in your heart and mind. Only God, the creator who creates me and you, he knows everything about you, he knows everything about me, and he chooses to love me. He chose to love you. He loved us, even though he knew us. And he had this amazing plan to redeem us to himself. So going back to Galatians 4:9, thank God that he knows us, and that what dragged us to get to know him, because he treasured us, and we that bring us to himself. So Galatians 4:9, you know, how is it then, now that you know God and know that he knows you, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And Paul is saying, you know, how can you possibly subject yourself again to those tiny gods? And think about it, you know, they are, You know, at the end of the day, when we think about it, you know, and Paul is asking why, as to, you know, which we say like, yeah, why I'm doing that? Why I'm going back? And like, it's funny. Like, I don't know about you, but every time I have an opportunity to share God's word, God do a preparation beforehand. And this week, it was just like that, you know. Things that was trying to occupy the center of my life, that it is for God, right? It is for God. It can be a problem. It can be a person, right? This week was a person. Tiny gods, but powerful gods. And I wish sometimes it was easy for us to recognize and let it go and see and say, God, yes, you know, I'm wrong. I'm going to confess to you that I'm wrong, and I want to ask your help, you know. So it is hard from time to time, but God, again, he wants to give us power. I believe that, you know, the longer that we are in our journey as Christians, you know, it's I believe we are more susceptible to follow, to go back into the control of those things that used to control us. You know, we get familiar, right? It's easy to get familiar, and it's easy to get, you know, a little cold in our faith, and then we start slowly but surely forsaking the first love that God calls us not to forsake. It happens, and it can happen to each one of us. And here, specifically in verse 10, you know, verse 10 revealed to us some of the things that they were putting first or putting in the center, the Galatians. Paul said, you are observing special days and months and seasons and years, right? They were like observing like the traditions and the taboos, the superstitions associated with like special days, with season and years. They were observing the Jewish calendar with, you know, its Sabbath, its festivals, and in the seasons. And they were trying, this is the problem, they were trying to find favor with God by observing those things. And Paul said, you know, that's not right. That's not right. That's not part of your package of freedom in Jesus Christ. You know, there is nothing but Christ and no other observation of anything to put you in the right stand before God. It's not because you participate in the Sabbath or you know, in a festival or you guard this special season, but it is Jesus Christ and him only for our justification. So moving on, Galatians 4:11 says, I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. In other words, you know, Paul is saying, you know, I'm afraid that my hard work that I did, you know, bringing you to Jesus Christ, teaching you God's word, has gone up like in a puff of smoke. And I am afraid. And remember, Paul loved them. Paul loved the Galatians. You know, they were their children in the faith, and he cared for them like nobody else. And here it's his appeal, you know, Galatians 4:12-16, he said, I plead with you, brothers and sisters. And when he said brothers and sisters, you know, it's Galatians that had already placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They were already like saved. And Paul is saying like, become like me, for I have become like you. You did me no wrong, Paul said. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God and if I were Jesus Christ himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify. If you could have done so, you would have torn out your own eyes and give them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? It's a great appeal of this father in the faith. Paul, as we know, you know, he had been being a Jew under the law, but now in Christ Jesus, he was free from the law in terms of being justified before God. So Paul said, you know, become like me, because I was delivered from the law and I no longer live under the law as a form of justification. Now the Galatians, they were Gentiles and they have never been under the law, and you know, they were not under the law right now. So Paul says, you know, I became like you. Become like me because I became like you. I was a Jew, but now I enjoy the freedom that I have from the law because of Jesus Christ. And Paul, you know, as he appealing here, he's turning to them and saying, you know, from you like turning to other gods, or turning to these false teachers. Apparently, there was this, you know, Jew false teachers that were pressing on them. Yes, you got saved, but, you know, in order to have your stand with God, you still need to be practicing these things. Otherwise, God is not going to be, you know, all right with you. And Paul said, you know, personally, you are not hurting me, but you are hurting the truth of the gospel, and you are hurting yourself. He said, you did me no wrong. You are doing wrong to yourself, and you are doing wrong to the truth of the gospel. And here also, you know, supposedly when Paul preached to the Galatians, supposedly he was in a very bad shape, maybe because of the persecution that he had suffered, you know, so far. Or maybe it was something that, you know, a hand cap that he had in his own person or manner of speaking, which, you know, might made it like hard in the beginning for them to, you know, sit under his teaching. And we can see a little bit of this, you know, for example, like 2 Corinthians, it talks about, like, you know, for some say about Paul that his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Can you imagine, like, you know, saying that about the Apostle Paul? You know, I mean, come on. And then 2 Corinthians, we know also that there was something going on in there that God allowed, right? We know this thing called, like, you know, Paul was giving this thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to tormented me. And he asked God if God could set him free, and God didn't answer his prayer about that. And here is the great Apostle Paul praying to God, God, can you please set me free from whatever this is? And God didn't answer that prayer, but told him, Paul, my child, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, it's made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on you. And that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And here is our great Apostle Paul to their beloved Galatians. We don't know exactly what it was, but, you know, that played nothing to his disadvantage with them. They did not despise or rejected him because of that. But on the contrary, they received Paul as if he was an angel from God. They received him if Jesus himself was preaching to them. They esteemed Paul very highly. I mean, Paul said, you guys, you would take like an arm or an eye from your own body and you would give it to me. And then verse Galatians 4:16, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? And this is an interesting verse here, isn't it? Because sometimes the truth can offend, and sometimes the truth can make us some enemies, unfortunately. You know, we can all be friends sometimes, but that is just until, you know, our convictions start showing based upon, you know, God's word, and that becomes, can become like a stumbling block to some. You know, it's true, right? But we are called to live by the truth. But it is a reality that sometimes the truth that we are called to follow and believe, you know, can make us sometimes look like weird in some people's eyes. But it's okay. Jesus was looked upon very weirdly, right? But he is our Savior. And we are still following the truth. And I'm telling you, you know, you shall know God's truth, and the truth shall set you free. I remember how terrorized I was about the truths that I was, you know, listening, or from time to time in bites and pieces I heard from the Bible. I was like, and the reason why I know now, I didn't know that earlier, was because that was a conflict with those non-gods or so-called gods that has nothing to do with the divine on them, that was battling inside of me, my head. They didn't want to give place to the only true God. They want to have their reign. And I understand that. And you know, I am like patient with people that maybe don't know the truth, and the truth can cause them an affront, you know. It's okay. It was with us in the beginning as well. But we know that, you know, God wants us to live out the truth of the gospel. And he wants us to speak the truth. And of course, you know, when he calls us to speak the truth, I love Ephesians 4, 14 to 15. It says this: then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that sometimes are so clever they sound like the truth. And this is a reality, right? Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Again, when I look back in my life, I am so thankful for the people that spoke the truth in love to myself, even when it was hard. You know, I remember having some conversations with the pastors, you know, as I was developing a friendship or a friend in the faith. And I remember, and they were very gracious, and I remember talking about some hot topic that I have the right to think about those things and live out what I always live out about those things. And they gave me the truth, but in love, like, Ray, yes, man, I know. I used to love that. I used to think like that as well. And nobody changed me but God. One day I was challenged. Someone showed me, like, hey, it's not my thoughts. It's not me saying. It's God, the one who created us. He has a better plan. He has a better way for us to think and live out our lives in a way than the very things that we love at first. You know, we don't have to regret it for so many years because they caused so much damage in our own lives. And God proved to me, you know, A plus B plus C, that his thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. And the truth of the gospel, God knows it beforehand, and it's worth it, our trust. I love this verse here, Ephesians. Don't be afraid to tell the truth in love. Don't point it to yourself as the source of truth. Point it to Jesus Christ, because he is the one. And then, you know, so you start finishing here. What time is it? 25 after. Okay, five more minutes.
No, just kidding.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Galatians 4. Drew is going to be really proud if I go to verse 12. You can be my witness that I finish the whole. He's going to be, Ray, you are growing Christ, boy. We tease each other, you know. I love topics. He loves text, you know. I love text, too. I enjoy the text, but I can be stuck in a topic. Galatians 4, 17 to 20, it says this. Those people, they are zealous, Paul, going back to the Galatians. They are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous. It is fine if you were, you know, still participating in a Shabbat, you know, in a Sabbath, you know, but not having that to do with your right standing or not with God. You know, it's fine if there's a season that you want to celebrate, but that doesn't make you more like right or wrong with God. It is Jesus and the justification that you have in Him. So Paul said, it's fine. And then he said, my dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I was perplexed about you. And again, he was sending them a letter. He was not there in person, right? So, you know, the false teachers, you know, they were zealous in their efforts to win the Galatians and their affections to them. But their motives, it was really wrong. They wanted to cut them from Paul and from the teachers of God's word. They wanted a following. That's what they wanted. And they were not, you know, worried about like creating a sect inside of the church to get people to it. And that happens to this day. But verse 19, it says, you know, Paul's desire was not for their salvation anymore. Paul's desire now is that they can keep on growing in Jesus Christ, that Christ might be formed in them, that they could grow in Jesus Christ, because Christ likeness, it is God's full objective for all of us as His people. I love Ephesians 4:13. It says, this will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard in Jesus Christ. And I love that connected to Colossians 1:28. It says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Jesus. Paul is saying, my dear children, I want you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be immature. I don't want you to be tossed right and fro from people that comes with like strange things, you know, that really doesn't lead you to Jesus Christ, but to those things, you know, tiny gods, not gods, so-called gods. And Paul had something in store for them. And I wanted to close going back to Galatians, my favorite verse out of this portion here. You know, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God. And this is my final thought here. Because I know God, and way better, because God knows me, I don't need any other gods. I really don't. He can supply all of our needs. And yes, those non-gods and so-called gods, they will cripple in from time to time, but we have power in Jesus' name to agree with God when we see those coming and say, God, you are right, I am wrong. By your grace, by the directing of your word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I can have power over those things that before I knew you, you already knew me, had power over me. I love Romans 8:11. It says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and His Spirit is living in us, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives inside of you. Boy, this is so amazing. This is so amazing. You know, what I thought in my own life that it was impossible to overcome. You know, I remember conversations of me telling, you know, yes, I can be a Christian, but please do not touch my non-gods. I didn't describe it like that. Do not touch those things that are very important to me. Thank you very much. You know, and again, I remember people saying, hey, you know what? That's not our job. But if God wants to touch it because He creates you, I think He might have the right to it. And it will be in His time. Well, in His time came. And it was one thing after another. My thoughts and my beliefs, God's thoughts and my belief. What I like it and what I pursue, what God is calling me to like and pursue. What I thought was everything to me, if I don't have this, I am the most miserable. Now they are not anymore. Now I have this other pursuit here that it doesn't cause me all the regrets that this one here used to cause me. It is one that it's growing me on the inside and growing me to spend eternity. So because we are known by God, we have no needs for the so-called gods. And when they try to cripple in, we can claim in the name of Jesus victory to overcome. And we don't want to believe even for a little time, you know, that they have to control us anymore. I know that we fell and we missed the mark, and we all do, but we can look up, we can confess to Him, we can take on His hand, we can shake it off, right? And we can keep on following Jesus Christ, because our labor of following Him, it's not in vain. And here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm in yourself, no, in Jesus. Let nothing move you. Will there be, you know, tons to move us? Yes. Mountains, right? But we have Jesus. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because labor in the Lord, it's not in vain, and you know that. We know that. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I can only picture one day in heaven, you know, when we are just enjoying the presence of Jesus Christ, and He will just, out of His memory, you know, it pleased me so much when I saw you as my little children walking in the truth, trusting me for things that you first didn't trust me. Thank you for doing that. And here you are today enjoying this fellowship that will be eternally. Amen. And that is good news for us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the direction. We thank you for the correction, of course, that we get from your word. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that work with our spirit on the inside of us and help us to be convinced by you in your word that, yes, you have a better plan. Yes, your ways, it's way higher than our ways. Your thoughts are way past bigger and better than the best thoughts that we can come up with. And Father, you bring us to this place where we are trusting you. You are the only one true God. And we realize, Lord, yes, we live in a world where we do have this body of and sin in our bodies, and therefore we from time to time we give in to the so-called gods. But Lord, please help us. Even here today, Lord, I feel like this week I gave in way too much to tiny gods, way too much space in my head, in my heart. But oh Lord, thank you for bringing me to yourself. Thank you for bringing me to your words. Thank you for giving me the truth, even when it's hard. But just like Paul, you loved us. You care for us like nobody else. So here you are. Here we are. And I don't know what types of not so divine or little tiny gods you are facing, but what a great opportunity here today to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your strength. I need to think like you think. And therefore, I'm coming to you and I'm confessing to you, Lord, please help me. You are right, I'm wrong. Please help me. Deliver me, Lord, from these forces of evil. They are trying to succumb me. They are trying to put me in a place where it's not the place that you want me. Jesus, thank you for speaking to me through your word. Have your way. Amen. In Jesus' name.